Now this morning, if you would take your Bibles to the book of Mark, this morning, Mark chapter number 16, one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, the second book of the New Testament there. And as you're turning there, I'll tell you a little bit of a story. So obviously, I've been traveling around a lot, and probably now about 3 to 4 weeks ago, I was up in Michigan. So I was up in Michigan still before the leaves really had changed, so it was starting to get cold up there, but I was traveling around, and one thing I like to do when I'm traveling is I'm a huge college football fan, so I like to go and visit different stadiums if I can. If I'm passing through a city and there's a college there, I like to go just check out their stadium. So I've got to go to Illinois Stadium. I actually got to go out on the field. That was pretty neat. I got to go by Michigan State University Stadium. I got to go by Notre Dame University's football stadium. So I guess I've got to do a few of those, and I was going through Ann Arbor, Michigan. So there in Ann Arbor is the University of Michigan. So I thought, well, I'll just go and I'll see the University of Michigan's football stadium. You know, you see it on TV all the time. It's called the Big House. You see it all the time on TV, but I'm going to go and see it. So I was going through Ann Arbor. Well, my first mistake was it was right about rush hour time. I think it was like 5:30. So it was a little bit past it a little bit, but there was still lots of traffic everywhere. So, and I was on this two-lane road, very busy. I mean, constant. We're in town constant, you know, just two lanes of traffic going back and forth constantly. And I got to this light. And what I didn't realize when I got there was how hard of an issue it was going to be for me to make a left-hand turn on this light. Because, you see, the light didn't have an arrow. It was just a green. It didn't have a left-hand arrow. So, obviously, you can't just go anytime you want. You got to yield to the oncoming traffic. So, we were there. I was the first car, you know, at the light. And I was waiting. The light turned green. And there was a steady stream of cars going this way. And I could not go anywhere. Then the light turned yellow and red. I'm like, seriously? Like, I just waited through a whole cycle. And I still cannot make a left-hand turn. This is crazy. So, then the second cycle came. Cars, zoom, 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 zoom. Couldn't go again. Second cycle. I'm like, what in the world? They have got to put an arrow on the slide or something. This is ridiculous. Well, by this time, I have about two cars behind me. I had a young lady. She's probably a University of Michigan student. I could look in my mirror. She was back there, and then I think there was a school bus or something even behind her. So we're there. The third cycle goes by. Still, couldn't go. And by this time, this lady is, I mean, she is animated. The lady behind me, she's like, what are you doing? I can only imagine what she's thinking. She's like, what are you doing? And she's like making all this motion. I'm like, I'm sorry, but I can't go. There's a steady stream. Well, finally, on the fourth cycle, I believe it was the fourth cycle, I was finally able to make a left-hand turn. What had happened, there was still a steady stream of cars, but there was a dump truck that was back in. You know, dump trucks, they don't get going as fast. So there was a place to where I could go. So I hit the gas. I was able to make it, made it through in plenty of time. It wasn't dangerous, really, or anything of that nature. But we made it. But, man, that was frustrating. I had to wait a long time before I could go. Well, can I say, spiritually speaking this morning, we have the gospel, and we do not have to wait to share the gospel. If you will, we can go right now, today, and share the good news of the gospel. We don't have to wait. I had to wait at a stoplight, and it was frustrating. But we as Christians, we don't have to wait to share the gospel. We can simply go right now and share the gospel. This morning, we're going to look at the need to go and share the gospel with everyone around us. The title of the message is simply, Go and Share the Gospel. Go and share the gospel. You're here in Mark chapter 16, so to get a little bit of the story of what's kind of going on to this point. So obviously we have Jesus. He was born of the Virgin Mary there and lived a perfect life. He had his public ministry for about 3.5 years here on earth. And he's gone through his public ministry. We have the triumphal entry. He's coming in and everybody's like, oh, Jesus, he's going to be the king. He's going to set up his kingdom. We have the triumphal entry. And then a little bit later, we have the Passover meal where Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And then we have Judas, who goes to betray Jesus, and he goes to the chief priest and basically tells them where Jesus is going to be. So we have Jesus, he's up there in the upper room, and he's preaching and all that, or telling his disciples different things. And he leaves, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knows what's going to happen. He knows that he's going to go to the cross, and he's crying. The Bible says, sweat drops of blood. He's like, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. And he's just praying. He's in anguish. Then you have Judas and all these different soldiers. They come and they arrest Jesus and they take him. And then you have all these really fake trials that really weren't trials at all. If you study all the different Jewish laws, really these trials should not have even happened because they were happening at night and a whole bunch of different things. And you have Jesus who goes to trial after trial. He goes to this person. And there's all these false witnesses that are set up against him. And then he goes to Pilate. And Pilate basically says, I don't see any fault in this man. He washes his hands and say, I'm done with this. Basically, his blood don't be on my hands. But he does have Jesus there. He sends him to be crucified. So Jesus, he is crucified, and he paid for your sins, and he paid for my sins there on the cross of Calvary, and they took the spikes, and they put it through his hands and through his feet, and Jesus is dead. He was placed in the tomb there for 3 days and for 3 nights. But praise the Lord, Christ resurrected from the dead. Jesus is no longer dead. Jesus is alive, and he rose from the dead, conquering sin and conquering death, and praise the Lord for that. So we have now the resurrected Jesus, and he comes upon a couple people. And that's kind of where we pick up our story here, our Bible account here in Mark chapter 16. If you have your Bibles there, Mark chapter 16 and verse number 9. We're going to read verses 9 through 20, but really only focus in on a couple verses this morning. The Bible says there in verse number 9 of Mark 16, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. If you would join me in a word of prayer here, but right before we get into the message, and we'll really get into it after that. Father, I thank you so much for this day that you bless us with. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that is here today that's made it a priority to come out into your house. And Father, I pray that you'll just empty me of myself. I pray that you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, control me completely. And I pray that you'll just help me to preach your word, Lord, with power and conviction this morning. And I pray that you'll help all of us, Lord, as the hearers of your word, to have just our hearts prepared to hear your word and help us to leave your change more conformed to your image. Lord, we sure do love and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So kind of, we just read it, but to kind of relate it back to you, we have Jesus who's alive now, and he appears to this lady named Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary Magdalene, the Bible says, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. So Jesus had cast 7 devils from her. She was one of the women who had came to the tomb early in the morning to anoint the body of Jesus, if you'll remember of that. And they're there, she comes to the tomb, and obviously the stone is rolled away, and she realizes that Jesus is alive, and she still kind of hangs around the tomb area there after they go and tell other people. So she's there in the tomb, and Jesus comes to her and appears to her in the resurrected form, and you can find that in the Gospel of John, I believe. So basically, she now realizes that Jesus is alive, so she goes and tells his disciples, hey, Jesus is alive, he's no longer dead, he's alive. And the disciples here, what does the Bible say? If you look there at verse number 11, it says, "And have been seen of her, believed not." So you have these disciples who are there. Now realize, their life had been built around this man named Jesus, and they thought he was dead. And then all of a sudden you have this woman saying, "No, Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead." And the disciples are like, "Yeah, right. What did you drink last night? You know, like, you're crazy. What did you eat before you went to bed? Did you eat some pizza and get some crazy dreams or something? You're crazy." And then, in verse number 12, it says, "After that, he that, speaking of Jesus, appeared in another form unto 2 of them as they walked and went into the country." So this here is referring to the 2 disciples on the road to Emmaus, if you will. And they're just walking along. They're just having a conversation. And basically, I'm paraphrasing. They're like, "Have you heard about what's happened, you know, in Jerusalem and Jesus?" And basically, Jesus, he reveals to them as they're walking, basically, "Hey, I'm the guy. I am Jesus. I am alive." So then you have these 2 disciples who are walking on the road to Emmaus. They're like, "Wow, Jesus is alive." So then what do? They go back to the disciples. They're like, hey, disciples, Jesus is alive. What was the response this time? If you look in verse number 13, "And they went," speaking of the 2, "and told it unto the residue," or to the disciples, those who were saved, "neither believed they them." So the disciples, they didn't believe them. They're like, "Yeah, okay, here comes another couple of crazy people. What in the world? These people, they're just crazy. They didn't believe him." Then we get to verse number 14, and we have Jesus who comes onto the scene. It says, afterward, he, that's speaking of Jesus, appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So you have the disciples, they're sitting here at meat, and Jesus here appears to them, and I'm sure they're taken back. They're like, whoa, that's Jesus. Like, are we seeing things? Like, you know, they're probably blinking their eyes a few times. Is what we're seeing real? And they see Jesus here. And Jesus, he appears to the 11 there as they're eating, as they sat at meat. And Jesus, he begins to upbraid them. He basically starts to, if you will, kind of attack. That's really not the right word, but kind of like get into them, like, hey, what's going on here? What's with your heart of unbelief, and what's with your hardness of heart? Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So he's basically like, guys, wake up. You had three people now that have come to you and said that I'm alive. Why didn't you believe? And he's kind of laying into them a little bit. And then he turns, if you will, from laying into them to really giving them a command. This morning, I want you to see, number one, God's commands. Number one this morning, God's commands. If you look there at verse number 15, it says, and he, that's speaking that he is Jesus, and he said unto them, or to the disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we see here the first command is simply to go. The word go means to move over an area or to proceed. Jesus here is commanding his disciples to go and share the gospel. And may I say today that we need people who will go and share the gospel. It's a simple fact this morning. It's not going to blow your brain. But to go somewhere requires action on the part of the person who is to go. Let me say that again. To go somewhere requires action on the part of the person who is to go. Now, how many of you have a dog? Raise your hand if you have a dog this morning. Okay, so wow, we have a lot of dog people in the church. Okay, so I love dogs, and my brother's girlfriend, Brooke Griner, is down in Withfield, Virginia. So last summer, I think it was one of the breaks anyway, we stopped off there for dinner, and they have a bunch of dogs. They breed some dogs and different things. And they have this one, I can't remember what kind it was, but it's very active. It's like a youthful, like it's just ready to go and do anything, right? So they had a tennis ball. And after dinner, we had gone out, we were just talking, they had this tennis ball, and, you know, we just start throwing the ball, and the dog would, it would go and grab the ball, and it would come back, and it would, you know, have the slobbery ball, and you're just kind of like, do I really want to pick this up? But anyway, you pick it up, and you throw it again, and it would go, and it would go and get it and all that. And it was a whole, we had a lot of fun. It had a little launcher with it, so that was kind of cool, like a tennis ball launcher, so then you could really get some, you could really go, and it would go a long ways, and that dog, it would go off, and it would get it, and it would bring it back, sure enough. But a question for you, if I tell the dog, go get the ball, and he just sits there. Is he going to go get the ball? No. If I say, okay, go get the ball, and the dog just sits there, is the ball just magically going to come to the dog? No. It requires action, if you will, on the part of the dog to go and get the ball to accomplish what I wanted him to do. Well, if you will, spiritually speaking, we as Christians, we have the gospel, if you will. We have the ball, and God, if you will, he's the master of us, if you will, the dog, and says, go give the gospel, and we just kind of sit there a lot of times. Well, God, I don't really want to go get the gospel today. I don't want to share it with anybody. And God's like, go get the gospel, and we're just, if you will, the dog, we're just sitting there. That really should be convicting. If you will, we need to be excited and say, all right, let's go get that ball. Let's go get the gospel to people. Each and every person, we as Christians are commanded to go and share the gospel. Jesus here is telling his disciples, he's like, okay, guys, now's the time. Go and share the gospel. God commands us to go. This wasn't just a command to the original disciples. This is a command for each and every Christian, each and every person who knows for sure that they're on their way to heaven. This is a command for each one of us to go and share the gospel. You say, well, Ryan, how in the world can I go and share the gospel? Well, just by telling people that you encounter in your everyday life about Jesus and about how he has worked in your heart and in your life. If you look throughout the gospels, that's what a lot of the different people in God's word did. They just pretty much shared their testimony of, hey, this is who I was. I was lost. I was on my way to hell. But Jesus, he changed my life. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And then they just share their testimony. That's what you can do. Just going through your life, say, you know, you're at the checkout line and somebody says, hey, how are you? Well, I'm doing great. I tell you what, Jesus, you know, he's really changed my life. And they may look at you a little funny, but hey, it may open a door to where you can share the gospel, but at least you've put in a good word for the Lord. How about one way? By supporting missionaries across the world. That's one way that we can go and share the gospel, is by supporting people who are going to share the gospel to people in foreign lands who don't even have a church, who don't even have a Bible. That's one way that we can share the gospel and go is by supporting missionaries. How about by being a witness at your workplace and just having a good testimony for the Lord? And as the doors open, just share the gospel with some of your coworkers and say, hey, has anybody ever taken a Bible and shown you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? That's one way that you can go, by sharing the gospel with your workplaces. How about at school, if some of you are in schools, by sharing the gospel with your classmates, with other folks? How about by just giving out gospel tracts? You know, we have all these gospel tracts out there in the back. Pick some of these up. Just pass them out everywhere you go. You're at the checkout lady again. Say, hey, could I just give you something to touch about God's love for you? That's one way that you can go and share the gospel. How about by talking to a neighbor? You know, we all have them. Hopefully, you have good neighbors. Hopefully, you don't have any bad neighbors. But hopefully, you have neighbors. And some of them, they could be lost. Well, how about by just going, maybe at Christmas time, that's coming up. You can make some cookies for them or something like that and say, hey, we just wanted to give you these cookies that, you know, tell you we appreciate you being our neighbor and we love you. And hey, could I give you something to tell you about God's love for you with that? And come to church with me this Christmas. Something like that. It's one way that you can go and share the gospel. But where are we to go? You say, okay, I'm supposed to go, but where? We'll look back at verse number 15 where it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world. All the world. Now, does that exclude anybody? It doesn't. When it says the world, it's not talking about go to the trees and the rivers and say, okay, tree, here's the gospel. No, it's talking about the people of the world. Go ye into all the world. Every single person in the world needs the gospel. I don't care what they look like, what their economic status is, if they smell bad, what the race is. I don't care what it is. Every single person in the world needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. The drug addict that's on the streets in downtown Clarksburg, they need the gospel. They need somebody to take the gospel and share God's word with them. Because if I'm being honest, I could have been that person. I didn't have to grow up into a good, godly Christian home. I could be that person that's just in downtown Clarksburg, that's just on drugs or just has no hope in life. We got to be the ones, we know the truth. We know the gospel, to go and share the gospel. And the gospel can change those people's lives just like it has changed my life. We need to share the gospel with every single person in the world. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say for just those who have a certain IQ or a certain economic status. No. Everybody, the whole world needs the gospel. So let's just be real for a minute. If somebody comes in here that doesn't look like us, they may smell a little bit, let's welcome them into church if they come up here. It shouldn't just be for the elites and, oh, they can't come to this church, or they got three kids that are running around the church. What in the world? No, welcome them in because they need the gospel. How are they going to hear if we're, you shouldn't come into this church? No, we need to be welcoming to every single person that comes into the world because God loves each and every one of them. So the first command is simply to go. But the second command is to preach. To preach, if you look back at verse number 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and, say it with me, what's that next word? And preach, let's say it one more time, and preach the gospel to every creature. Now the word preach, you say, ha ha, I'm not a preacher, so I can just zone out here. No, the word preach, what it literally means is to proclaim a message or to herald aloud a message. That's what the word preach means. It's not just talking about, now obviously part of it is getting behind a pulpit and preaching, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about just simply proclaiming the message or heralding aloud a message. So we are commanded to proclaim the message of the gospel. We say, well, Ryan, what is the gospel? Well, there's a really good definition in God's word. As I've heard before, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4, where the Bible says this. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, that's what we're looking at, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Here's the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It's really simple. The gospel is not complicated. The gospel, the word gospel, literally means good news. The gospel is simply this. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and then he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel is not complicated. The gospel is simply the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That is the news that we're to proclaim. We're to go and to preach the gospel. We're not to preach our opinions or to preach what we think or to preach politics or to preach this, that, or the other thing. We're supposed to simply preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that we don't have to just get up here and spout off our opinions or our philosophies. No, we're to preach God's word. We're to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every single person in the whole world. But you at your workplace, you can preach the gospel. You can share the gospel. You can proclaim aloud the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, it's probably you're not going to get up on a workplace table and just start going away at, all right, everybody, listen up. No, that's not that. I mean, if God tells you to do it, okay, but I would not recommend doing that. But you can still proclaim the gospel, but just talking to a coworker. You're just at the lunchroom, you're at the break room table, and you talk about, hey, what's the weather like? Or, hey, how's your kids doing today? They say, well, hey, could I tell you something that's really good news? You know, it's called the gospel. And you just go right into it. Say, hey, you know what? There's a God in heaven who loves you. He died on the cross to pay for your sins, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again from the dead, and he wants to save you. That's one way that you can go and preach, herald aloud, the gospel. We need teenagers who will stand up in their schools and say, hey, there's some news that you got to hear. Jesus saves. He loves you. He died for you. We need adults who are at the doctor's office who would just say, hey, you know what? God, he's been good to me. Can I share with you the gospel? We need to go and preach. Proclaim aloud. Herald aloud the message. There's so many different voices, if you will, that are heralding around different things. Why not it be the gospel? You hear about politics and opinions and this person thinks this and the world's going crazy. Well, why not get up and simply share the gospel? Proclaim aloud the good news of Jesus Christ. About a couple weeks ago, I was in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I'm actually going to be heading back there, actually pretty much after the service this morning. But I was in Virginia Beach. I was there. I did a Christian school chapel in the morning. And then I kind of had the evening. No, excuse me. Let me back up. I had arrived kind of in mid-afternoon, and I had the whole evening free. And then the next morning, I was going to be at a Christian school in Virginia Beach. And I was there. So, and it's kind of the off-season for beach. Like, I'm not sure about you, but I don't think anybody wants to go to the beach when it's 50 degrees outside or 40 degrees. Not exactly the great time to go to the beach. So hotels were really cheap. So I was able to get a really nice hotel, like right on Virginia Beach. I think it was like for $80 or something like that with tax. I mean, it was a really good deal. So, I mean, because there's just a row of massive, huge hotels, because obviously in the summer they're booked full. But they weren't. So I was there, and they have a really nice boardwalk. So I was, you know, walking down the boardwalk, just enjoying the time. There's a bunch of shops are open, you know, ice cream shops, pizza shops, you name it. And I got to a Dairy Queen there. It was like an outside Dairy Queen. There wasn't any indoor seating. It was just like where you'd order at the window, pick it up, and they had picnic tables kind of out there on the beach kind of area, patios where you could eat and all that. So I was there, and I was about ready to order my food. I had to wait a good little while because there was a line of people there, but I finally got my food, and all of a sudden, there was this guy. I'm not sure if he was drunk or if he's on drugs or if he was just in his right mind, but just going crazy a little bit. But he was just, I mean, yelling about when I was about ready to start ordering, just yelling, oh, Jesus is dead. Jesus is dead. Just going off and saying a ton of just vile things that should not be repeated from this pulpit, just saying cuss words and just going on and on. And then he left. But I mean, he went on for probably about 30 seconds. I mean, just loud as you could be for people everywhere to hear. He was proclaiming that Jesus was dead and things that just should not be repeated. But can I say, if a lost man can go around and proclaim with really not a care in the world that Jesus is dead and saying things he shouldn't, I think it's time for us Christians to stand up and to proclaim the good news of the gospel, to go around and say, hey, there's a God who's real. He's alive. He cares about you enough to send his only son, Jesus. Go and share the gospel. Preach it. Proclaim aloud the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was a guy here, he played for the Milwaukee Bucks. It's only happened a couple weeks ago, maybe now 2.5 weeks ago. A guy, his name is A.J. Green, I believe. Yeah, A.J. Green. And he's a basketball player for the Milwaukee Bucks. I believe he's a shooting guard. And 3 weeks ago, right before the season started, basically the Milwaukee Bucks, they turned over all their social media platforms to the players. So basically the players, I believe, if I'm understanding right, could basically put one post on the Bucks' official pages on X or Twitter, or not Twitter anymore, but X or Instagram or Facebook or whatever. They could just put one post of whatever they wanted. So a lot of them were taking videos and so, like, all right, Bucks, let's go. We're ready to have a great year. Come out, support us and all that. But A.J. Green decided to do something a little bit different. He put a post, it was really simple, wasn't anything fancy, just a little post there that had John 14:6 on it. It said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And there was a lot of public outrage. Well, why in the world is the Milwaukee Bucks posting this? And there was a bunch of outrage, but there was also a lot of supporters. But can I say that A.J. Green, he was bold in his faith. He will, if you will, he proclaimed the good news of Jesus. He didn't have to do that. I'm sure it would have been a whole lot easier for him to just do what all his other teammates were doing. Yep, let's go Bucks. Ready to have a great year. Come out and support us. But instead, he chose to share the gospel, if you will. He put a Bible verse for thousands of people to see, and thousands of people saw the Bible verse, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He proclaimed aloud, if you will, heralded aloud the gospel, but you can too. You can simply herald aloud the gospel to everyone around you. Hudson Taylor, a great missionary, he said this. He said, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. Let me say that again. The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. I agree wholeheartedly with Hudson Taylor. This isn't an option. It's a command for us to go and to share the gospel. When was the last time that you've shared the gospel with somebody? Or that you've had a conversation about Jesus? I think if we're being honest, a lot of us would probably be ashamed because maybe it's been a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, maybe longer. But it's time that we share the gospel. Why are we left here on earth after we get saved? Why didn't God just take us up? Why? To share the gospel. So other people can hear the good news about the gospel. And we're going to just really quick, really not going to hit on too long, but verse 16, I do want to hit on this really quick because it's right here in a Bible passage where it says, he that believeth, in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I want to just take just a second to explain this. When it talks about he that believeth and is baptized, a lot of people go, you have to be baptized to get saved? What in the world's going on? No, that's not at all what this verse is teaching. But if somebody just takes that phrase out, I can see where somebody could think that. But that is not at all what the Bible teaches. Whenever you get to a passage that seems like a contradiction to what you think, you gotta consider the whole Bible. What does the whole Bible teach? Or a big word is context. What is the context? What is everything going on? But notice here in this passage, the key word is belief. If you notice there, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. It doesn't say, but he that believeth not and is baptized not shall be saved. It says believeth. That's the key. Belief, and then after somebody believes, they get baptized and are saved. That's always how the Bible teaches it. You have somebody who believes, they get saved, and then after that is baptism. It's always salvation and then baptism. Baptism is not part of your salvation. It's completely separate. Baptism is the first step of obedience after a person is saved. If you don't believe me on that, think about this. You have Jesus who's on the cross. You have two thieves, two malefactors, the Bible calls it. One on his right, one on his left. The one rejects, but the one accepts Jesus. And Jesus, if you remember, he says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. If you will, in heaven, that one of the thieves got saved. Now, question, did that thief on the cross, did he have time to get baptized? No, he didn't. Simply belief in Jesus is enough for you to get saved. Baptism is not a part of salvation. So you say, well, why does it kind of look like it is here? Well, I think one of the reasons, there could be multiple, and this could be up for debate, but I think one of them is because it's just the natural thing after a person gets saved is to get baptized. It's almost just like, yeah, somebody gets saved, they get baptized. And boom, you move on. If you go to Acts chapter 2 in verse 41, Acts chapter 2 in verse 41, here in the early church, it says, then they that gladly received his word, if they will, they got saved, they received his word, they got saved, were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. It's just the natural thing that's supposed to happen. Somebody gets saved, well, the first thing that they're supposed to do after they get saved is to get baptized, and then they can start to grow in their walk with the Lord. So I just wanted to hit that really quick. The emphasis here is on belief. Don't let that phrase carry, oh boy, somebody's got to get baptized to get saved. No. Consider the whole canon of Scripture, the whole Bible. What does the Bible teach? The focus here is on the word belief. And then we get to verses 17 and 18. Another couple more controversial passage or verses here. It says, these signs, shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So again, this is where a lot of people will take these two verses, and that's why we have charismatic churches who speak in tongues, and some weird churches do snake handling. I don't get that at all. But they'll do snake handling because they take this verse out of passage that, okay, if any deadly thing shall bite you, basically you'll be okay. This here, these sign gifts were given here to the apostles for a specific time period to authenticate the message of the gospel. This is here. This was just for a certain time. God, he's done this in the past. You think of Moses back in the Old Testament. You had different signs that he did to basically show to Pharaoh that he was from God. Remember, remember the rods that turned to snakes and he was able to pick it back up and it became a rod again? That's a sign. The different plagues throughout that were put on Egypt, those were all signs to authenticate that, hey, God is real, you better obey him. Well, it's the same deal here. God gave the apostles specific signs that they could do, as we just read about. They could speak in tongues, do all these different things to basically authenticate the message. It was just for a certain time period, and that ended when the canon of Scripture closed. So what is the canon of Scripture? That's simply the Bible. We have the completed Word of God for us today. We don't need to have signs. We don't need to have all these wonders or different things because we have the whole Bible. At this time, they did not have basically any of the New Testament. This time, they didn't have it. So they were given special signs and they could do all these different things for a certain period of time, but that time has ended. There are no more sign gifts today. If you look there, in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10, 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10, kind of talking about this, it says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, one of these sign gifts, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, speaking in tongues, they shall cease, no more, they'll cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away, verse number 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, verse number 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That when it, perfect, what is it talk about? When that which is perfect is come, it's talking about the Word of God. That which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So whenever we have the completed Word of God, the perfect, if you will, that which is in part, the sign gifts have ceased and are no longer for today. I hope that makes sense. That was just kind of, we was writing our Bible passage, so I wanted to deal with it really quickly. And I will kind of get back on the train track. That was just a really long rabbit trail, okay? So here we go. Number one this morning, I want you to see God's command. Number two this morning, our responsibility. So, title of the message, go and share the gospel. So, we have God's commands to go and to preach the gospel. But then we have, number two this morning, our responsibility. Our responsibility. Look there at verse number 19. So, they hear this command to go and to preach. Then how do the disciples respond? Verse number 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, or unto the disciples, he was received up into heaven. So, Jesus, he's no longer there. And sat on the right hand of God. That's where Jesus is now, the right hand of the Father. Verse number 20. And they, speaking of the disciples, went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Here is the key. The disciples, they heard the commands and they just didn't push it to the side, brush it off, say, okay, I'm not for me. No, the disciples, they obeyed the commands that they were given by Almighty God. If they wouldn't have obeyed these commands, there's a good chance that Oakman wouldn't be here this morning. If the disciples would just say, okay, we're just going to not do anything about this gospel thing, would the gospel gone forth? They obeyed, and look at the consequences, the good consequences today. There's people all across the world who have heard the gospel because of these men. Now, it's not recorded in the Bible, but history shows us that each one of the disciples died a martyr's death. Why? Because they believed the gospel record. They believed in what they were saying. They went forth and preached everywhere. You know, a lot of times you hear a message like this, yep, we need to preach the gospel. We need to go. Yes, absolutely, Ryan. But then Monday morning or Tuesday morning, we've kind of forgot what we hear and we don't do anything about it. We just kind of go back into our normal routine and normal rut. I think it's time that we as Christians say, this is a command given by Almighty God. It's time that I take this seriously. It's time that my Sundays reach my Mondays and I actually do something with what I'm hearing. It's time that we as Christians get out there and go and share the gospel. Maybe on a Sunday morning it will be different. Or we say, God, with your help, yes, it may be scary. Yes, I don't exactly know all what I'm doing. But with your help, to the best of my ability, I'm going to go and I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Tomorrow at work, will you share the gospel? Or we just kind of cower, what are they going to think about me? Share the gospel. When you're at school, are you going to, well, I don't care what my classmates are, what are they going to think about me? No, say, I'm just going to share the gospel anyway. I'm going to go and share the gospel. That's one reason that our churches are dying and people are not getting saved is because each one of us in the church, we're not really doing our responsibility. We think, oh, well, it's the pastor's responsibility. He's the one to, yeah, go preacher. Yeah, we're going to support you. Go share the gospel. But it's not just the preacher's responsibility. It's each and every person's responsibility under the sound of my voice to go and to share the gospel, because you have relationships that I'm never going to have. You have relationships that pastor's never going to have. We need to go and to share the gospel with each and every person. So what are some other ways that we can go and share the gospel? We'll come out and help with different events here at the church that whenever we're sharing the gospel, like fireworks. We give everybody a gospel tract at the fireworks ministry. You can come out and help with that. That's one way that you can help share the gospel. Again, I've already mentioned it, but by passing out tracts to the checkout person, you can give those out. By whenever you're going through Chick-fil-A, you know, just give them a tract. You say, hey, here's something that tells you about God's love for you. How about by using social media to share the gospel? There's different things that are solid that you can share. You can use social media to share the gospel through videos or to share a Bible verse every once in a while. That's one way that you can go and share the gospel. How about by picking up a phone? You can pick up a phone and call maybe an old classmate or somebody you know and say, hey, you know, I haven't talked to you for a while, but I want you to know that I really care about you and I want you to know the truth of the gospel. How about, as I've already said, but just using everyday interactions to simply share the gospel. I was in Galesburg, Illinois, and I think I shared this maybe with the Wednesday night crowd, but I was in Galesburg, Illinois, and I had to get a game because we were going to youth rally on the next day, and I was wanting to get like a game for the youth rally just because basically teens will come up to my table and, you know, we'll interact with them a little bit. They can fill out like a door prize type deal, all that. So I was wanting a little game to be able to interact with them a little bit. So I went to Five Below. We just one here in Clarksburg on Bridgeport Hill there. But I went to Five Below. That's a good place to find stuff cheap, and they got some cool stuff. So I was like, let's go for it. So we went there, and I'd looked online. I kind of already looked at what I was kind of wanting to go for. So I went in the store there in Galesburg, Illinois, and I went in, and there was this bigger fella. He was there, a worker. And he said, hey, welcome to Five Below. And I said, hey, thanks. And I was like, well, instead of just tracking around the whole store trying to find this little item, I went over to him. I said, well, excuse me. I said, you know, I found this online. I was wondering, do you have this in stock here in store? And if so, would you mind pointing me in the right direction? And he's like, oh, yeah. He said, come with me. I'll just show you where it's at. So he kind of took me over to the different game sections. He was kind of showing me different things. And he said, well, so what do you do? What's this for? So I started to explain, you know, I didn't know if he's a lost man. I'm like, how do you explain that you're going to be at a youth rally? You know, he probably didn't even know what a youth rally is. And, you know, I was trying to explain different things. He's like, oh, man. He's like, I grew up going to church camp, man. He's like, oh, yeah, I grew up going to church. I'm like, oh, yeah. I said, where was that? And he said, oh, it's somewhere over in Ohio. Anywhere. He's like, and so it kind of opened a door, if you will. I wasn't expecting it, but he opened the door wide open. I was like, oh, well, at that church camp, I said something like, well, did you ever ask Jesus to be your Savior? You know, so however I went into it. And he was kind of mixed up. It was more of a charismatic, like Pentecostal background. He was like kind of caught up in the spiritism type stuff. He's like, do you believe in ghosts? And, you know, like all that. It was kind of a little bit odd. But the door was open to share the gospel. So I was able to go through pretty much the whole gospel with him. I mean, this guy, he was searching. He'd read through the Bible three times front to back. He was searching for answers. He's like, yeah, I just don't know about all this, man. So I was able to share the whole gospel with him. He didn't get saved, but I was able to share the whole gospel with him. I was able to leave him with a gospel tract. Say, hey, call that number. I'd love to talk with you anytime about this. And I was able to share the gospel. Hey, I sure wasn't expecting when I was going into Five Below. I went into Five Below to get a simple $5 game and walk out the store. But God had other plans. God had somebody there that he had prepared for just that time and that place to hear the gospel. Can I say that God could be working in circumstances in people's life that you don't know about? That God could be working circumstances and different things to where they may be ready to hear the gospel, or they may be more willing to at least listen to you that you don't know about. So if God puts somebody on your heart, don't ignore that. Share the gospel anyway. Share the gospel. God could be working in people's lives that you don't know about. We are simply to go and to share the gospel. But I love this. We're almost done. If you look at verse number 20. It says, they went forth, so they obeyed. They preached everywhere. They obeyed. They went forth. They proclaimed aloud. And I love this next phrase. The Lord working with them. Say that with me. The Lord working with them. The Lord working with them. It's not a man. It's not the guy who knows the gospel and can spout it out one way down the other. The Lord. God Almighty working with you as an individual. See, that's the thing. We all a lot of times think that it's just us. Oh, here, I got a shirt. I got to give out this tract. But if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. It's almost like if you have you, and then you have the Holy Spirit standing right next to you. There's almost like two of you, if you will. And you're there. You have God Almighty, the God who spoke everything into existence. I think the Holy Spirit can help you to share the gospel, to get over your fear, to get over whatever. The Lord working with them. See, it's really not us working. It's really God working through us to accomplish his will. Because I don't have the power to get somebody saved. I don't have the power to change a life. But I sure know somebody who does. I know the God of the Bible who's real and alive. He has the power to change people's hearts and lives. He has the power to illuminate the truths of the Bible to them. I love that the Lord working with them. We have God's power working through us. So I want to close kind of this with, just to be really practical, what are some hindrances to us sharing the gospel? What are some hindrances to us sharing the gospel? Well, I think probably the biggest one would be fear. If we're being honest, fear. To be honest with you, I'm scared a lot of times whenever I go to knock on a door to invite somebody to Vacation Bible School or to church or just to tell them about the gospel. I'm afraid. I'm like, you know, sometimes you knock on the door, it's like, Lord, please help nobody to answer the door. Please help nobody to answer the door. Sometimes you're just scared. You're fearful, right? That's one of the biggest hindrances to us sharing the gospel. How about another one? Rejection. What will people think? Well, if I share the gospel in my workplace, well, everybody's going to turn against me and I may not get that promotion, or who knows what may happen. Rejection. That's another hindrance to sharing the gospel. How about a lack of understanding on how to share the gospel? That's another one. You're just like, I just don't think I know enough. Well, hey, if you know John 3:16, you know enough. And if you really want to know how to share the gospel, come to pastor, come to myself, come to somebody who knows it, and we can give you verses to memorize, and it's not that complicated to share the gospel with other people. How about kind of along with that, lack of confidence? You're like, well, I just don't know, what if I mess it up or say it wrong, or you just don't have the confidence. That's another hindrance to sharing the gospel. And sometimes, if we're being honest, it's just a sheer lack of want to. We're just like, I just don't want to do it. I don't care. And I'm just going to move on with my life. Those are some common hindrances to the gospel. But can I say, with the Lord working with you, you can overcome any one of those things? I realize those are real fears. Those are real anxieties. Those are real issues to deal with. But with God's help, you can overcome those fears and those anxieties with God's help. To be honest with you, you can't do it on your own. But with God and the Holy Spirit, you can do it. Forget your fears and hindrances and simply share the gospel. Obey what you are to do. We're going to close out this morning with a poll. I thought this was really staggering numbers. There's a recent, I take that back. I'm really not sure if it's recent, but there was a poll taken somewhat, generally speaking, recently, taken about people here in the United States of America. And they ask people a bunch of questions in this one survey, but one of the questions they ask was, do you believe that the Bible way to heaven is by grace through faith? Which, by the way, that is the way to heaven, by grace, by God's grace, through our faith toward God. That's the Bible way to heaven. For by grace he's saved through faith. By grace through faith. They asked that question. And on that poll, only 6% of people said yes as the Bible way to heaven, by grace through faith. 6% of people. Miss Angel, if you don't mind putting up that first stat there. 6% of people in the U.S. believe that the Bible way to heaven is by grace through faith. 6% of people. That's less than 1 in 10. Basically, if you will, if this poll is correct, 1 in 10 people, less than 1 in 10 people that you encounter are saved and on their way to heaven, if you take that poll. Could you show the next slide, Miss Angela, if you don't mind? The next slide here. Roughly speaking, there's 8,460 people die a day in the United States. That's just a rough estimate that if you just Google it, that's what you'll get. Roughly, basically 8,500 people die a day in the United States. If you wouldn't mind showing the next slide, Miss Angela. So you have that. You have 8,460 people die each day. So with that being said, if that statistic is right, which granted it could be skewed a little bit, but I think generally it gives us a sample size of the United States. If that statistic is right, 7,952 people go to hell every single day. And only 508 people go to heaven every single day. That should break our hearts to see that statistic. If you wouldn't mind showing the next statistic, Miss Angela. So taking those numbers, 331 people an hour go to a godless place called hell. So basically, in the amount of time that we've had this church service, probably about going on an hour and a half, we're at what, 450, 500 people, roughly speaking, just in this church service, if that statistic is right, that has gone to hell. That should break our hearts, that people are going to spend an eternity separated from God in a place of torment. I wonder how many of those people are our friends, are our coworkers, are our family members. And yet we, myself included, we just sit around, I don't know if I should share the gospel, what are they going to think? Who cares what they think? If there's an eternity to think about, if they get upset at you, well, I'm not saying to make people upset just to make them upset. No. But if they get upset at you for sharing the gospel, so be it. If they don't talk to you, so be it. At least you did your responsibility. You shared the gospel. You gave them the choice to make. I think it's time for us as Christians to rise up, to say, God, with your help, I'm going to go. I'm going to share the gospel. It's a command that God gave, but it's also our responsibility. So this morning, when you're going out to lunch, pick up some tracts in the back. Give it to your server. Say, hey, I just want you to know that God loves you. Do something to get out there. Just don't let this message forget you, and next week you come back to church and you didn't tell anybody about God. By next week, I hope each one of us can say, I at least talked to somebody about the Lord, or I at least, you know, did something to share the gospel with other people. It's time that we as Christians go and preach the gospel.